Who doesn't love a classic chocolate chip cookie? Famous Amos has been making them since the 70s, 1975 to be exact. With semi-sweet chocolate chips and a satisfying crunch, it's everything classic in one bite-sized cookie. And fans couldn't get enough. That's right. You'll find our original recipe, the one you know and love, in every bag of Famous Amos original chocolate chip cookies. Find Famous Amos anywhere you buy your favorite snacks.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Hello and welcome to episode number 176 of The Draft Analyst, presented by the Believe Sports Podcast Network. Do you believe? This is Chris Tripodi, and I'm joined by Tony Pauline, as always. And for our last episode of the month of February, we will have another great guest for you on the show. We'll talk to our second Senior Bowl offensive lineman in 3 weeks. 2 weeks ago, it was Quinn Meinerz, and this week, we have Nebraska offensive lineman Brendan James joining us. Now, James is a player we've discussed a few times on the show this year. We discussed his stellar performance against Iowa in November, plus how he looked at last month's Senior Bowl, which also qualifies as a pretty stellar showing. Am I right, Tony?
Yeah, sure was. I mean, James is a guy that was incredibly durable, four-year starter at Nebraska. We'll talk about that with him. And a guy who was good. He wasn't just somebody on the field. I mean, he was good, showed some versatility, and at the Senior Bowl, showed up every day and, you know, did what he had to do. And with no combine this year, it's ironic because the time that Chris and I are taping this show, talking to Brendan James, I would usually be in Indianapolis taping our first show during the combine. But with no combine this year, you know, the Senior Bowl, as we spoke about, took on more importance. And for James to perform the way he did in the 3 days of practice, that was major. And that's really going to help his draft stock.
Now we'll get to this week's show in just a minute, but first, a word from our sponsor. Football might be over, but NBA, college basketball, and the NHL are in full swing, and the only place you should be betting on those sports is at betonline.ag. Now looking to our usual NFL draft odds, Zach Wilson, now a far bigger favorite to go number two than he was last week after another report that more than one team now has him ahead of Trevor Lawrence. But moving on to pick number three, it's actually a toss-up right now between Justin Fields and Penei Sewell at about 2-1 each.
I think the odds makers better put Jamar Chase up there as far as the potential third pick of the draft. When you look at the Miami's needs, you look at the type of player Jamar Chase is. So we'll see how that pans out as we move closer to the draft.
In addition to sports, BetOnline covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV, and has hundreds of props with real-time odds on almost anything you can imagine. And of course, my go-to, the 24-hour online casino.
Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. That's betonline.ag. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
Now it's our pleasure to welcome onto today's show offensive lineman Brendan James from Nebraska, made 40 consecutive starts for the Cornhuskers, most of them at left tackle, but also a bunch at right tackle earlier in his career, which we'll discuss a little later in the interview. Brendan, welcome to the Draft Analyst, and thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me.
Brendan, thanks for joining us. We've enjoyed watching the past 4 years at Nebraska. I know I really enjoyed watching your 3 days of dominant practice at the Senior Bowl, which is a topic that we will get into tonight. So we'll have some fun, talk about your college career, talk about where you are now and your future hopes in the NFL.
Perfect. That sounds great.
All right. And kind of starting back before college even came about. You grew up in Austin. Speaking of which, our thoughts go out to you and any friends and family that you may have in the area with everything that's going on down there. We hope everybody's safe and doing well. Obviously, you played football in high school. I know you did play a little lacrosse and toss the discus around a little bit as well. Were you a Texas fan growing up, or did you have a different favorite team, whether college or pro?
Actually, growing up, I was a huge Notre Dame fan. I don't know why, but me and my dad, we always liked that university, and whenever we could watch them, we would. And then also, I guess in the pro level, we were huge Cowboys fans. My mom, she wasn't a huge Cowboys fan because she was a Saints fan, and she hated the Cowboys, but you know, I think we set our differences aside, and we tried to watch in a humane manner on Sunday night.
That's cool. Speaking of Notre Dame, last week we had Notre Dame quarterback Ian Book on, who I know also joined you at the Senior Bowl. So that was a lot of fun. Now, I got to ask you, you threw discus in high school. Did you also throw shot put, or were you just solely discus?
I did throw shot for a while, but I found out I was a lot better at discus. So that's what I kind of pursued later on in my high school career, and ended up going to regionals with about a 175-foot throw. So I was pretty happy with that.
That's a huge throw. Now, did you throw at Nebraska at all?
I didn't. Didn't even really cross my mind about throwing disc. But I feel if I had to do it all over again, I would at least try it out, you know?
The reason I asked that is last summer of 2019, we had one of your former college teammates, Carlos Davis, on this podcast. And I believe both he and his brother, besides playing defensive line for Nebraska, were also discus throwers. I believe Carlos, I think, medaled in the NC2A finals in discus, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I think so. But that was a real cool experience for them. The fact that they're playing two sports at the level that they're playing at, you know, we had our good laughs here and there and just try to cheer them on whenever we could.
You know, is that something you guys ever discussed, obviously, with you having the experience of doing it in high school and them doing it at the college level? Is that something that you guys kind of were able to bond over in addition to, you know, working in the trenches together every day?
Yeah, it was always competitive between O-line and D-line, obviously. And so whenever we could compete, we would. I never really threw in college, so I couldn't compete in that way. But I'd always try to brag on my high school days.
Now, we discussed some teams before. Were you more of a Big Ten or a Big 12 fan growing up in terms of conferences?
I didn't really pay too much attention to that, especially as a kid. I just liked watching football. The whole conference thing didn't really hit me until like I was later in high school.
Leaving high school, you had offers from all around the schools all around the country, but you only visited Nebraska. What made the Huskers the right fit for you? And were there any other schools that were in serious consideration?
Yeah, I mean, I had offers from pretty much the whole Big 12, but I wanted to leave Texas. You know, I'd grown up in Austin pretty much my entire life and just wanted to experience something new. And I also wanted to play in the Big 10, you know. So Nebraska was my first Big 10 offer. I scheduled a visit for the spring game. They sold out 90,000 people for the spring game. And, you know, that was enough for me, you know. Definitely wanted to play in front of that atmosphere. Got to know the tradition of being a offensive lineman at Nebraska and wanted to be a part of that. So, you know, when Coach Frost and his staff came in, they did a great job developing me and ultimately made me the player that I am. So forever grateful for them.
So you said you weren't a real conference fan growing up, but, you know, going to Nebraska and seeing all that made you a Big Ten fan real quick.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and after seeing that atmosphere and figuring out the tradition of being an offensive lineman at Nebraska, I mean, it's just something that I couldn't pass up. So wanted to take advantage of that and just kind of roll with it.
Now, they say, you know, Nebraska fans are some of the most educated, respectful fans in the nation. They travel well. They're respectful to opposing teams. I remember when Nebraska played, I believe it was USC in the national title game in the Rose Bowl years ago, and they got hammered by USC. The USC players talked about how the Nebraska fans never booed, and all they did was just remain quiet. And then even a couple of years ago, I don't know if you were if you played in the game, but Nebraska opened up against UCLA in Lincoln, And it was a time, it was right after one of the UCLA players had died. And, you know, first game of the year in Lincoln, the teams are announced, and the Nebraska fans just put an impromptu remembrance or celebration for the UCLA fan, for the UCLA player who had just recently, who passed away over the summer. I mean, it was class all the way through. And that's what they say about Nebraska fans. So I could understand why you would be so taken by what you saw at the spring game.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, win or lose, you know, the other team is going to get an applaud. And you know, I don't think they booed very much throughout my career. So, you know, they stayed, for the most part, you know, they all stayed loyal. We tried to work as hard as we could. Unfortunately, in my time there, you know, the record didn't show our hard work, but you know, they're with us through thick and thin, so I'm grateful for them.
Moving on to your career at Nebraska, you play your freshman season. I think you started 9 games at right tackle. You went from actually a potential redshirt that year to earning that job. Mike Riley was then fired after that year. You guys went 4-8. What was it like, you know, not only going from, oh, I'm a redshirt to taking over a starting role, but then after that season, ending up going through a coaching change after just 1 year on campus?
Yeah, it was tough, you know, being the first time being away from home as an 18-year-old. You know, I had some big decisions to make, but, you know, ultimately I committed to Nebraska and I wanted to play for Nebraska. And, you know, that's kind of the decision that I stuck with and, you know, stuck with it and ultimately tried to make the best career out of myself. And, you know, I think I did that. I think I did what I needed to do. And now it's time to move on. But, you know, I don't think that I have any regrets with my decision. You know, I wouldn't change it. So I'm happy with it.
After Riley's released, Scott Frost is announced as the head coach of Nebraska. What was it like? What was the feeling like knowing that a Nebraska legend like Scott Frost was taking over to be the head coach of the program?
It was definitely a cool experience, you know, to have someone like that who's been through it, who knows how to win, you know, coming into this program and really bringing an attitude of grit and toughness and, you know, things like that. Things why I went to Nebraska. And, you know, I couldn't ask for a better coaching staff to have come in and replaced, you know, Coach Riley and his staff and Greg Austin, the O-line coach. I think he's a great coach, even better man. And you know, I love playing for him for my last 3 years. So I wouldn't change it.
How difficult was the transition for you going from right tackle under Mike Riley and staff, then to left tackle under Scott Frost and the new staff in 2018?
Actually, it was pretty easy. I was kind of out of place at right tackle my freshman year because the past 2 years in high school, I'd played left tackle, so that's what I was kind of used to. And then not only that, but the style of offense that Coach Frost ran was what we ran in high school. So I was back in my old position and pretty much back in my old playbook. So I was definitely a lot more comfortable my sophomore year.
Early part of your career at Nebraska, you blocked for Adrian Martinez, you know, a run-pass option quarterback. Is it difficult blocking for a running quarterback like Martinez when you don't know if he's going to be in the pocket, taking off upfield, or what he may be doing with the ball?
Sometimes it is, yeah, but other times, you know, it can definitely bail you out. You know, so I'd say it's like 50-50. You know, sometimes they you know, you a guy gets around you and he's able to escape. And then other times he leaves the pocket when he's really not supposed to, and it gets you in trouble. So I'd say it's 50-50, but, you know, overall I had a great experience with Adrian. He was a hard worker. He was very dedicated to what he did. And, you know, he was a great fighter as well.
So in other words, if a guy beats you on the inside move, you're happy that you got a quarterback that can run like Adrian Martinez, right?
Absolutely, yeah. He'll bail you out sometimes, I'll tell you that.
Now, you were Nebraska's offensive MVP in 2019, not an award that's given that often to non-skill players. What were your thoughts when you found out about receiving that honor?
I was definitely proud, proud of my accomplishments that I made that season. I think there were a variety of guys that could have gotten that awards. You know, I worked very hard to accomplish that.
2020 comes around and COVID hits the United States. What was the feeling around, and Nebraska really was at the front of the programs that were, that wanted to play. So let's start from the beginning. COVID hits, it's springtime, spring football. What was the feeling around the team during the early months of the pandemic?
During the early months that it was just going to blow over. We were going to schedule spring ball for a different time, and then we were going to roll it right into camp. And that was going to be it.
Now, Nebraska in particular, as Tony kind of mentioned, very vocal on wanting to play the season in 2020, even talked about switching conferences after the Big Ten initially announced that they were postponing the season. Was moving to another conference something that was discussed by you guys as a team?
It was hard to say. You know, there was talk here and there. As a team, I don't think it was talked about enough to where we thought that was going to be a serious decision. I think it was more of an idea than it was like a set in stone decision, in my opinion.
Now, eight of your teammates actually sued the Big Ten about the decision to postpone the season. And I got to tell you, there were a lot of people rooting them on because of the fact that we wanted to see the season. And the reason the lawsuit read, the failure of the Big Ten to hold a vote on the purported decision to cancel the 2020 football season is a violation of the governing documents, and the decision should be declared invalid and unforeseeable. Were you privy to this idea that your teammates were going to sue the Big Ten over the postponement of the season?
I really had no idea. It was a lot of underclassmen that had kind of brought that up to our attention. So I really knew nothing about it until it was kind of out in the media. Like I said before, you know, I heard whispers here and there about that they were going to do it or if they weren't going to do it. And with it being like a legal lawsuit, I just kind of stayed out of it and wanted to see what happened.
Now, there are a lot of parents in the Big Ten who are very outspoken over the conference delaying the season. Did Nebraska in particular have a loud group of parents?
I would say so. You know, when you have fans as dedicated to the program as we do, who just want to play football in a safe environment, you know, like other conferences were doing, I think, yeah, you know, you had a lot of parents and a lot of fans speak their mind, especially on social media. But I don't think we're the only ones either. So, you know, I do think that we did have parents that did that. But like I said before, we weren't the only ones.
Eight games into the season, you chose to opt out. You skipped the Rutgers matchup, and you announced you're going to prepare for the draft. Was there anything that kind of fostered the timing of that decision? Was there any, you know, one thing that you said, okay, now my Nebraska career is over, time to move on?
Well, initially it was over. The Rutgers game wasn't certain. You know, that was a 50-50 game on if we were going to play it or not. And, you know, ultimately I gave it my all for the regular season games and felt like I did what I needed to do and it was time to move on. I didn't really want to sit around and wait to see if maybe or maybe not if we were going to play the Rutgers game. So I made the decision, you know, told teammates the decision. And then shortly after is when the Rutgers games was going to be on. So it was kind of unfortunate timing, and I can see why people might have think that I quit on my teammates. But, you know, as long as my teammates know and my coaching staff knew where my head was at and where my goals were, then I'm perfectly fine with that.
It's an understandable decision. So I got to ask another question. Was it difficult to play in a season where you weren't sure that the next game was going to take place? You weren't sure that, you know, your opponent was going to have enough scholarship athletes, or there may have been too many COVID positive tests. Was it difficult in that sort of week to week sort of scenario saying, hopefully we'll be on the field Saturday, but we may not be on the field Saturday?
Absolutely. I mean, going into a Monday practice, not knowing if all the hard work you're about to put in is not going to be shown on Saturday. That's a tough thing to get guys motivated to go out there and still practice hard And, you know, that was definitely a challenge that us older guys had to motivate some of the younger guys and even some of the older guys to, you know, just kind of keep our head down and do what we do. And if we play, great. If we don't, let's look forward to the next week. But yeah, I mean, that was a very difficult thing for us.
Now, in your 4-year career at Nebraska, who would you say is the toughest defender that you faced and went up against on Saturday?
Oh, man. I mean, there were several. You know, I chose to play in the Big Ten because I felt like they had better defenses than a lot of other conferences. So, I mean, between Bosa and Chase Young and Shaka Tony from Penn State and the defense and Espinosa from Iowa, I mean, all those guys were extremely difficult to block, and it was a full game battle. And, you know, I won some, they won some. It wasn't one-sided. But I'm glad that I did it because it showed that I could hang with those guys. And some of those guys, if not all of them, are in the NFL right now. So, I mean, it just proves that I can hang at that level and play with those guys.
Not only are they in the NFL, but a lot of those guys were very early picks in the NFL draft. So, you know, that is basically almost a Hall of Fame Big Ten defensive line that you named there, or at least a Hall of Fame defensive line from the past 15 years. Your career at Nebraska is over. You're getting ready for the draft. Do you remember when you got the call to the Senior Bowl, and what was that like? Or the call to invite you to the Senior Bowl, and what was that like?
Yeah, I mean, I was actually here training, and it was in between workouts, and I got a call from Jim Nagy, and you know, he told me that he was excited that to say that I was gonna get invited to the Senior Bowl, and it was kind of out of nowhere, and I was just so excited and blessed to be able to have been chosen for this bowl game, and you know, just especially in a time like this with COVID and everything, I was just so blessed to be able to get the opportunity, and I just wanted to take advantage of it. And but yeah, I mean, overall, I was really happy, really excited, and wanted to show what I had.
How different was the offensive system that was implemented at the Senior Bowl compared to what you did at Nebraska?
I mean, the scheme was different. I mean, it was a pro-style offense compared to a spread offense at Nebraska. A lot of the vocabulary was the same, especially on the offensive line that we used at Nebraska. So that was an awesome thing to see. So really learning the playbook wasn't extremely hard. It was only a fraction of the whole playbook, however. So, you know, I don't think it was meant to be hard, but, you know, I didn't have too much of a problem picking it up.
Now, you had three terrific days of practice at the Senior Bowl. I mean, you really stood out at a variety of positions. Let me ask you this. Who were the toughest guys, the toughest opponents that you faced in one-on-ones during the week?
Yeah, absolutely. So my very first rep at guard ever was against the defensive line MVP, Osa from UCLA. That was my first rep ever at guard, and you know, it's safe to say that he got the best of me on that one. but other than that, you know, edge guys, Weaver, I believe was his name from University of Pitt. He was a real athletic dude and had a variety of moves in his toolbox. So he was pretty tough to block. I mean, overall, they were all real tough to block, but those are the guys that kind of stood out to me.
Now, we actually had Quinn Miners on the show a couple of weeks ago, and he also mentioned Osa Ozigidua as the toughest guy that, you know, he was able to go up against. Can you kind of go into more detail about what made Odigizua so difficult to go up against in practice?
Yeah, I mean, he just had first of all, his football IQ was very high. You know, he knew exactly where to be and when to be in that spot. So that was difficult in itself. The second is he's just like everybody else, he was fast, strong, and a physical run stopper. So that was he was very difficult to move with the ball. He had a very low center of gravity, and I mean, in the past, he was very quick, had a great inside move, and could take it outside on you as well. So it was just a complete overall player. Loved going up against him. Kind of opened my eyes that there was other people outside of the Big Ten that could really play. And just grateful for that opportunity. So
obviously that's something you learned at the Senior Bowl, that, you know, there is a world outside of the Big Ten with some really good players. What else besides that would you say maybe is the most important thing that you left the week in Mobile having come away with?
The one thing that I came away with that week in Mobile was that I came out more confident, you know, going into it. You know, I had doubts and just about myself as a player, and I think everybody did. And I think everybody pretty much got better from that week, you know, including me. So I think the biggest takeaway was that I felt like I belonged with these guys. And I feel like I belong at the next level. Nowhere near where I want to be, but definitely, you know, helped my confidence and showed that I had the ability to play with those guys.
Now, you said when you got the call for the Senior Bowl, you were training where you're sitting right now. Where are you training right now?
So I'm at Sports Academy in Agoura Hills in California. And I've been training here for the past couple weeks.
It's a full, like, is there a facility for you to live there, or do you stay at a hotel and you transport back and you commute back and forth?
Yeah, I'm staying at a hotel right now, and I just drive back and forth to the facility.
How's the weather been in California?
That's one thing that I can't complain about. It's always been sunny and 75 here, and you know, if it's chilly in the morning, it'll definitely heat up in the afternoon. So I can't really complain.
Now, when is your pro day scheduled for?
Scheduled for March 23rd at Nebraska.
March 23rd at Nebraska. And it seems like a lot of the schools are backloading or pushing their pro days to the bottom half of March. Only a few taking place in the first couple of weeks. So it's going to be a very busy end of March. March 23rd, do you have any marks that you're hoping to hit during pro day that you can share with us?
I mean, I guess in the 40, you know, I'd like to at least hit a 5 flat. You know, I think that's going to be a pretty big goal of mine. And then, in the other drills, I guess just compete with myself. Not really trying to compare myself to anybody else because that's not me. So I'm just going to try to compete with myself and be the best me that I can be.
So let me ask you this. What is a former 175-foot discus thrower, left and right tackle in the Big Ten, expect to finish up on? How many reps do you think you can do on the bench press?
I'm probably in the mid-20s right now. I'd like to get more towards the high 20s if I can. But, yeah, I'd be pretty happy with high 20s.
That's a good mark.
And Brendan, that's all we've got for you here tonight. Thank you so much for joining the show. We really appreciate it. And best of luck to you as the draft process continues to move along here.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me. I appreciate you guys having me on.
Thanks for joining us. Good luck on draft day. And more importantly, good luck with your next level career. I know you're going to be a success one way or another, whether it be at left tackle, right tackle, maybe even side of guard. No reason why you can't continue the success that you had in the college level into the NFL. So best of luck to you.
Appreciate that. Thank you.
Now, before we sign off, we want to give a brief moment to talk about our newest sponsor, eBay. Whether rare dead stock or the latest release, find the exact shoe you're looking for. As the original sneaker marketplace, eBay is the place to go to cop the pair you've been eyeing.
With eBay's authenticity guarantee, your sneakers are meticulously inspected by independent professional authenticators. A team of experienced sneaker authenticators verify the box, logo, stitching, and dozens of other inspection points. Each sneaker also receives an authenticity guarantee tag that includes a digital stamp of authenticity. And it also protects sellers with a verified return process.
And for those sneaker sellers out there, eBay has eliminated selling fees on sneakers $100 and above, making it free to sell or flip your collection.
Go to ebay.com/sneakers today. eBay, the world's best destination for discovering great value and unique selection.
Now we're going to wrap up the show here and just quickly talk about our interview with Brendan James. Now, Tony, I know he's a guy that we've discussed a lot on the show this season. What did you think of how he came across in the interview? And was there anything that surprised you about what we heard?
No, I mean, he seemed very loyal to Nebraska and basically a focused guy. He said he wanted to get out of Texas and wanted to play in the Big Ten. I mean, when you kind of forget, but when you ask him who the toughest players he played against, and then he mentions the Boses, he mentions Chase Young, you know, he mentions all that great talent, A.J. Epinesa, and how he's done, you realize how good he is. I mean, because those are guys. I mean, Epinesa was, what, the latest pick of the bunch, and he was a second-round selection. A lot of people thought he was going to be a first-round choice. But the Boses and Chase Young, you're talking three guys that were top three selections in the draft. So you kind of forget the amount of talent that he played against, and he showed up week in and week out, year in and year out.
Yeah, and I was actually interested to hear the name Shaka Tony thrown in there. I mean, you know, we've talked about Tony a bunch of times this year, and, you know, it never really has been favorable because he just didn't really do too much. But, you know, to hear Brendan James include him in that grouping of players was, you know, sort of eye-opening there, and you know, definitely kind of took me aback a little bit.
Well, what we said about Shaka Tony was he disappeared for stretches. Now, there were games where he was dominant, but what would happen with Tony was he'd be dominant for a game, and then he would disappear for two or three games. I guess the time he played up against Brendan James was one of those times, was one of his dominant performances. We know that Tony's a real good pass rusher. He's very athletic. The issue was he just kind of disappears. I guess he reappeared against Brendan James. Good thing for Brendan.
Yeah, and hey, maybe it means that Tony's going to go, maybe, certainly, I mean, not first round or probably even second round like the Boses and the Youngs and the Epineses, but you know, maybe we're in for a little bit of surprise if you know, other people feel the same way about Shaka Tony and have seen kind of the same things that that Brendan James saw on the field.
Yeah, I mean, listen, James is not the most artistic. He's not the prettiest. He doesn't have great footwork, but all the guy does is he gets the job done. He uses great fundamentals. He gets the most from his ability. He uses his hands well. When I watched him at senior bowl practice, continually blocking with good knee bend and terrific pad level, a smart, tough guy. And those types of players go a long way at the next level.
And that's it for the 176th episode of The Draft Analyst, presented by the Believe Sports Podcast Network. Do you believe? If you're enjoying the show, please subscribe on any of the major podcast platforms and leave us a rating and a review. And feel free to ask us any questions and provide any feedback you may have as well. Special thanks go out to Brendan James for joining the show today. And we'll be back next week with more NFL draft coverage and likely another interview for all of you out there. Until then, on behalf of Tony Pauline, I'm Chris Tripodi. We'll talk to you soon.
Who doesn't love a classic chocolate chip cookie? Famous Amos has been making them since the 70s. 1975, to be exact. With semi-sweet chocolate chips and a satisfying crunch, it's everything classic in one bite-sized cookie. And fans couldn't get enough. That's right. You'll find our original recipe, the one you know and love, in every bag of Famous Amos original chocolate chip cookies. Find Famous Amos anywhere you buy your favorite snacks.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.